May the energy and the joy of children inspire us. And may the simple truth that Jesus loves me echo in our hearts and help us see one another through that love too. Over the last few weeks, we've taken a look at several phrases Christians may sometimes say. You may have said some of them yourself at some point. I know I have. We've talked about everything happens for a reason. God has a plan for you. God won't give you more than you can handle, and some others. We've tried to take a look at the intentional and unintentional implications of some of these sayings. And at times, this series may have challenged you to rethink your own perspectives a little bit. But I think it's important for us to consider all the meanings and effects these phrases can have. Because as the book of James reminds us that Suetta read for us earlier, our words have power. We've explored how these phrases, even when they're said perhaps with the best of intentions, may at times at least bring hurt or confusion. It can also create some problematic images of God and the life of faith. And beyond just the phrases or cliches we've explored in this series, the words that we as Christians say have power to bless or to wound. As a pastor, I have fairly regular conversations with people about God and the church. Kind of comes with the territory. Sometimes those conversations involve reasons people give, why they no longer belong to any church or even believe in God. And those reasons quite often involve the words or actions of people who identify as Christians. A younger extended family member of mine told me of the time his youth pastor ridiculed those who held a different view of the creation of the earth than the youth pastor did. The youth pastor had shown this attitude toward those who viewed things differently from him before, and for my family member, this was the last straw. What he said just totally turned me off to church, were his words to me. I've encountered other people who have seen Christians shun others or proclaim judgment or speak words that dehumanize others because of their race or gender identity or orientation or class or ethnicity or status. I've talked to folks who see Christians as being a part of or defending some of the worst things we can do and say to one another. They see such examples and they come to the conclusion, if that's what being a Christian or a part of a church is all about, I want no part of Jesus or his followers. And sometimes it's not that extreme. Sometimes people don't leave the church as a whole or give up on the Christian faith. Sometimes they're just hurt and disappointed by a Christian who responds to their own hurt with a well-intentioned cliche. These words from James today remind us our words, both what we say and the way we say them, they have power. They can bless or curse. They can build up or tear down. This past week, I asked my friends on Facebook what they wished Christians said more often. I had several things in mind already for today's sermon, but was curious what kind of response I would get as well. I wanted to hear some different perspectives, especially from those who aren't currently a part, an active part of a church who don't identify themselves as Christians. And I got several different responses publicly and privately. In today's scripture, James reminds us of the power of words. And just a few verses later, the writer of James tells us that wisdom that comes from God is, among other things, peaceful and gentle and fair. It's filled with mercy and it's genuine. You don't have to look far to find people on all ends of the theological spectrum, conservatives, liberals, all points in between, that are convinced they have discovered the definite right view on things and view others and treat others with arrogance as a result. They can be rude or condescending. For them, being right and letting you know just how right they are is far more important than being loving. And before I go pointing fingers at those other people who do this, I have to own up to the times I've let my own perspectives cause me to be this way as well. The writer of James reminds us that wisdom of God doesn't display itself arrogantly. It approaches life and others with a certain level of humility and gentleness. It's not enough just to have the right set of facts or knowledge or to have the right worldview. Wisdom goes beyond that. Wisdom expresses itself in ways that are peaceful and genuine and fair. Applying these words about wisdom in a fairly blunt way, we could say that if our views of God's truths lead us to act like jerks, then we've missed the point. With that in mind, maybe there are some things that we as Christians should say more often, whether it's to each other or to people outside the church, or maybe even to especially those with whom we disagree. Things that might go a long way in expressing a wisdom-filled way of life that is peaceful and gentle and fair. One of those places to start might be with the words that Kathy even mentioned earlier in our children's moment. I'm sorry. Sometimes we have to apologize for ways we've intentionally or unintentionally hurt someone else ourselves. I can think of things I've said in the past that flowed out of my faith and my views that I absolutely cringe at now. Sometimes we have to own that with others and to say, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. Sometimes it might be helpful to apologize for something someone else in the larger family of Christianity said or did that hurt someone else, even if we didn't do it ourselves. I'm sorry that person said that hurtful thing to you. I'm sorry you had such a painful experience with the church and with Christians in the past. Because sometimes people aren't looking for us to fix it all and make everything right. They're simply wanting some indication that their hurtful experience wasn't indicative of all Christians or all churches everywhere, and that there are others trying to live and act in a different way. Another thing we could stand to say more is, what do you think? Or help me understand your view better. When I'm discussing an issue with someone with whom I disagree, I'm often tempted to fall into this trap. Let me explain to you all the reasons why I'm right, why you're wrong, and then surely you will change your mind to what is clearly the correct view here. It's easy to do, isn't it? But the reality is that sometimes we have things to learn from others, even those with whom we disagree. I have to remind myself, I'm not right on every single issue, and many issues are more complex and nuanced than I often make them out to be. There are things I haven't considered, things I don't know, life experiences I've not had. And that's why it's often helpful to listen more than we speak, to try to genuinely better understand the other person and their perspective, even if we may not agree with most or all of it. Can you help me better understand your view and why you think that way? What experiences helped you come to that view? We may find we have something to learn from them, or at the very least, about them. And along the way, we will show them respect as a fellow child of God, even if we may still not agree with their particular perspective. That doesn't mean that every single perspective is equally valid or equally in line with the way of Jesus. Some perspectives do need to be challenged and refuted. But even in doing so, we should do it in ways that refuse to dehumanize those who think differently than we do. Another phrase we could probably stand to say more often is simply, I could be wrong. This ties in to the previous idea of truly considering the views of others. I'm 46 years old. 46-year-old me views some things differently than 36-year-old Chris did. 56-year-old Chris will probably view some things differently than I do now as well. I could be wrong doesn't mean you're willing to fold any conviction you have at a moment's notice. Instead, it shows a disarming sense of humility that isn't afraid to consider that some of our views could be incomplete. It admits that we all should be continuing to learn and grow in our understanding in our lives of faith, and that our lives of faith should continue to change over the years as well. Another phrase that might be important for us to include more often in our vocabulary is, I don't know. Let's face it, there are some things we just don't understand. Some things for which we don't have good answers. Some things that confuse us. And for some reason, we buy into the idea that faith means that we have to have everything figured out, but it doesn't. I don't know are not dirty words for Christians to say. It's okay to admit that we don't have all the answers or that there are some issues we are still working out and wrestling with. Many of the phrases we've looked at over the past few weeks are often ones that people will say to those who are hurting or going through a difficult time. And I wonder if they're often said simply because we don't know what else to say. Maybe sometimes the best thing to say is simply, I have no good answers for what you're going through, but I'm here with you through it all. Maybe another question for us to consider too, another phrase to say more often is simply, how can I help? This question can lead us from caring through only words to caring through actions. It may not always be convenient or easy, and we can do this on an individual level, seeking to help those going through a difficult time or dealing with a certain need. This may lead us to share meals or give rides or help with childcare or things around the house, or simply just to be a listening ear in a safe space for someone. And we can also approach this on a systemic level with systemic issues and injustices in our world too. This may include organizing with others to work for change in our world, standing alongside those who have been shunned or rejected, or making changes in our own lives that address how we, in our ways of living, may even at times have been part of the problem. A couple more phrases for us to consider, including and saying more often, are you matter to God and you matter to me. There's not a one of us on this planet that doesn't at times struggle with wondering whether we really matter, if we're loved, if our lives mean something. And we live in a world that seems at times to thrive on escalating conflict and emphasizing the differences between us. And it's easy to forget that those who see an issue or even the world differently than we do are still human beings in need of love just as we are. When our differences of views or living keep us from seeing others as loved children of God and treating them as such, and we've missed the point. One last phrase. You can belong here. Everyone needs a place where they belong. It's part of being human. But for many in our world, the church is one of the last places they look for a place to belong, sometimes rightfully so. Sometimes Christians are among the worst at declaring who's in and who's out, who can belong and who can't. Sometimes Christians and churches declare all are welcome, but it comes with fine print of all different types. And belonging is something different than just being tolerated. Belonging is when we make room for others without expectations that they become just like us in order to be a part. Belonging is part of the hard work of authentic and deep community. It's not easy, but we as Christians should be doing the hard work of creating communities of faith where people can truly belong and inviting them to do so. James reminds us, our words have power. The words we say and the way we say them can bring blessing or curse. They can give life or they can tear down another. So how we speak about the truth of God as we have come to understand it matters too. This doesn't mean we have to take it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere kind of view. But it does mean that the wisdom of God and the expression of God's truth in our lives should be done in ways that are peaceful and gentle, fair. In a world where people are quick to oversimplify issues and apply labels to others in ways that dismiss them, we as Christians can move beyond those methods to deeper, more meaningful ways of interacting. In a world where some people view Christians as the most arrogant and rude people with whom to have a discussion, we can show them something different. We can be people whose lives and words are marked by a love that's rooted in humility and gentleness. You might be able to add a few things of your own to today's list. Things you wish you'd hear Christians say more often. As Christ's church and as Christians, we would do well to pay very close attention to how those outside the church would answer that question. We might learn a lot about ourselves and how to better love all God's children. Hear these words again from the book of James. What of the wisdom from above? First, it is pure and then peaceful, gentle, obedient, filled with mercy and good actions, fair and genuine. Those who make peace sow the seeds of justice by their peaceful acts. May we, as followers of Jesus, live out this wisdom. May we be known by our fairness, our gentleness, our peaceful acts. As the song we sing in worship sometimes out of our hymnal says, they will know we are Christians by what?
Love.
By our love. Not by our excellent arguments, our insistence on winning disagreements, or the ways in which we arrogantly proclaim our exclusive handle on all God's truth. They will know we are Christians by our love. May our words and our living show that love today and every day. Amen.